30 minutes, 8 maart 2020, dus het bulletin van zondag. Minutes, 8 maart 2020, dus het bulletin van zondag. Ik zit naar mijn eigen repeater te luisteren, die gelinkt is aan een conference server in de VS, maar het wiebelt een beetje, de verbinding. Maar het is wel grappig. Ze hebben het nou over antennevergunningen. Ja, dan vallen ze net stil. Volgens mij zit het bij hun en niet bij mij, want mijn verbinding is meestal wel goed van de repeater. Maar. Ik zat met een van de twee te praten daarnet. En toen was er een derde station die zei van, want hij zei dat hij mij heel brokkelig hoorde. Nou, ik hem dus ook. Nog erger dan nu. Maar toen was er een derde station en die kwam erbij. En die zei, oh, maar nergens een probleem mee. Ik hoor jullie alle twee goed. Ik denk, oh, dan zit het vast niet hier. Hè? Even mijn plopfilter een beetje verschuiven. Ik heb vandaag meer QSO's gemaakt. Vanochtend, wat ik vaak niet snap van zendamateurs, dat is als zij iets niet leuk vinden, dan vinden ze eigenlijk dat het niet bij de hobby hoort en dat het ook niet moet. Hè? Dus... Er zijn in Amersfoort twee soorten repeaters. Er is een repeater die op de berg staat. Ik zou trouwens zelf erg toejuichen, dus ik ben daar zelf kennelijk toch niet zo in. Maar, en dat is een repeater die op een hoog punt staat. En dat vind ik ook, dat moet je met een repeater die je maakt om te gebruiken, moet je dat ook doen. Maar goed, mijn repeater die is voor de korte afstand. En er was in dit geval niet zoveel kritiek op, dat heb ik ook wel eens gehad. Maar meer het feit dat je repeaters via internet aan elkaar verbindt, dat zou dan niet zo horen. En eigenlijk was dat toch geen zendhobby. En de meneer die dat zei, die ken ik al heel lang, maar die was heel aardig. Dus die zei niet zozeer, maar het klonk toch wel heel duidelijk erin door dat hij vond dat het niet moest. Hè? En het ging er toch om afstanden te werken. Ja, daar denk ik anders over. het gaat mij om het experimenteren met zendapparatuur. En dat is de essentie van mijn hobby. En dingetjes bouwen. En dat bereik, dat is mooi. Maar ik heb geen zin om hele grote kapitalen neer te leggen om een DX-station te maken. Puur omdat de mede-amateurs dat zo belangrijk vinden. Hè? Dus dat is misschien ook wel wat onaardig gezegd. Maar, want ik vind die meneer heel sympathiek. Maar ja, ik vind dat toch een beetje dat dan denk ik, waarom vind ik hun repeater nou een geweldig goed idee? Of hun repeater, dat is ook weer niet zo, want hij is niet van die repeater. Maar de repeater die hij toejuicht, waarom vind ik dat wel een goed idee en hij mijn repeater niet? Hè? Maar goed. Dat is vaak zoals het in de amateurwereld gaat. Dat is toch gek dat dingen die je dan niet ziet zitten. Die horen dan ook meteen niet bij de hobby. Hè? Dat is meteen, ja, eigenlijk is dat niet het echte zendamateurisme. Dan zeggen ze het nog heel netjes. Er zijn ook mensen die zeggen het hoort niet bij de hobby. Maar goed, ik heb het vaak gezegd toen ik zendamateur werd. Toen waren er redelijk wat mensen die vonden dat repeaters helemaal niet bij de zendhobby horen. Dat was niet het echte zendamateurisme. En dan, ik heb daar wel verschillend op gereageerd. Ik heb ook al eens gezegd van nou, maar jullie zijn ook gerechte zendamateurs, want jullie doen niet aan morsen. En eigenlijk is alleen het ouderwets zenden met een vonkzender en een seinsleutel, dat is het echte hobbyisme. En voor de rest moet je er niet mee aankomen, want het is allemaal nieuwigheid. En goed, voordat ik nou nog onverdraagzaam ga klinken zelf. Ik heb al een poosje weer geen uitzending gemaakt. Ja, ik had een... ik twijfel nog of ik dat uitzend. Ik had de nacht van donderdag op vrijdag een half uur ingesproken. Maar daar zaten toch wel wat ontboezemingen in die ik eigenlijk via de podcast niet kwijt wil. Ik vind het niet zo erg om dat eens een keer via de amateurzender te vertellen. Maar bij de podcast dan is het bereik wat groter. En niet alleen dat, het staat ook nog op internet in de podcast. En dan kunnen ze het ook nog terug luisteren tot in lengte van dagen. En goed. Even kijken, dat was woensdag. Toen was ik de Daily Minutes aan het inspreken. Dat gedeelte zet ik sowieso niet uit. Maar ik was al bezig, ik had een tekst geschreven. En ik heb een plan voor weer wat nieuwe series in de komende tijd. En toen voelde ik ineens enorm steken op mijn borst. En ik heb dat eerder gehad. Maar dat was lang zo erg niet. En de dokter die had gezegd, daar is niks aan de hand. Maar dit was zo hevig. En ik denk, ik bel voor de zekerheid. Ik had eerst van de website gekeken of je dan de dokter moet waarschuwen. Maar ik denk, ik bel toch voor de zekerheid toch even. Nou, om een kort verhaal lang te maken. 20 minuten later lag ik in het ziekenhuis aan een heleboel bekabeling. En uiteindelijk was er gelukkig niks aan de hand. Maar ja, ik voel me toch een beetje... Ik heb daar eigenlijk wel steeds geprobeerd te zeggen van... Nou, waarschijnlijk valt het mee. Ik heb al wat langer er last van. Maar ja, zij vonden de verschijnselen toch zo ernstig... dat het voldoende was om mij naar het ziekenhuis te halen. En ik mocht zelfs niet eens naar de wc. Ik mocht niet van de draden losgekoppeld worden. Maar goed, hart is onderzocht, heel uitgebreid. Longen zijn onderzocht, niets aan de hand. Dus ja, maar goed... Ik was daarvan wel een beetje van mijn apropos de dagen erop. Dus heb ik het maar weer even rustig aan gedaan. En ik kon 's nachts niet slapen. Dat was dus alweer anderhalve dag later. En toen heb ik wat ingesproken. Nou, misschien zend ik het morgen uit. Maar dan moet ik het eerst even beluisteren. En er zijn een paar stukjes die ik er dan wel uithaal. Maar we zullen zien. Ja, wat heb ik? Heb ik verder niet zoveel te vertellen. Ik volg het coronavirus gebeuren nog een beetje. Ik kom een beetje van schrok. Dat was dat zo'n beetje de eerste patiënt in Italië. Dat was een man van ergens net boven de 40. Een marathonloper. En die had longontsteking. En die wilde getest worden. En toen zei ze, nee, maar u bent niet in aanraking geweest met. Maar goed, hij was wel in die regio geweest. En toen hebben ze hem niet onderzocht. En daardoor is die dus overleden, heel jong. Dus dat is wel... Wel, ik begin steeds beter te begrijpen waarom ze er zoveel belang aan hechten. Punt 1 is natuurlijk wat ik al eerder zei. Zoveel belang om het te detecteren en waarom er zoveel gedoe over is. Maar punt 1 is het zo dat ze willen voorkomen dat als er een pandemie uitbreekt... dan is er een kans dat die virussen kunnen muteren. Dat is dus niet de kans van 100%, maar er is wel een risico. En dan kan er een veel gevaarlijker virus ontstaan. Maar wat eigenlijk nu vooral het is... Dat is dat ze de meeste mensen, tenzij je heel erg ziek bent en slechte afweer hebt... maar de meeste mensen die kunnen ze goed behandelen als er in de ziekenhuizen plaatsen zijn. En als heel veel mensen het krijgen, dan kan de gezondheidszorg het niet meer aan. En dan zullen er om die reden mensen overlijden. En dat is wat ze proberen te voorkomen. Dus dat betekent dus dat het niet een heel ernstig gebeuren is. Maar je kunt gewoon als een van de verschijnselen, waarschijnlijk een van de bijverschijnselen van een besmetting, kun je dus een ernstige longontsteking krijgen. En dan moet je op de intensive care. Nou, zoveel bedden zijn er niet dat als dat zo uitbreekt als een griep om zich heen grijpt, dan hebben ze niet zoveel bedden om mensen te kunnen behandelen. En bovendien zullen er dan ook heel veel mensen in de gezondheidszorg ziek worden. Die kunnen dan ook niks meer doen. Dus de bedoeling is van alle maatregelen om het op die manier in de hand te houden. Zodat er wel besmettingen zijn, maar relatief weinig. Zodat die mensen die ernstige complicaties van die besmetting hebben. Dat is ook maar een klein deel van de mensen die besmet raken. Meestal gaat het om longontsteking. Zodat dat goed te behandelen is. Er is één medicijn dat kennelijk toch veel hoop biedt. Voorkomen dat zo'n longontsteking veel erger wordt. En mensen worden minder ziek en het duurt ook korter, ze zijn sneller beter. En dat is een heel oud malaria-medicijn. Dat is eigenlijk nog niet gecertificeerd hiervoor. Er zijn nog wel wat bedenkelijke mensen die wat ouder zijn, boven de 65. Weten ze niet of het kwaad kan. Maar ja, goed, als je moet kiezen of iemand... zeer ziek wordt van een longontsteking. In bepaalde gevallen moet je er wel mee uitkijken. Je kunt ook met bepaalde maatregelen om besmetting te voorkomen. Kun je die besmetting juist vergroten. Dus je moet wel altijd heel goed opletten wat je doet. Hè? Maar dat is de twee voornaamste redenen dat ze er zo bovenop zitten. Nederland die staat geloof ik 15e met het aantal patiënten momenteel. Dus wij zijn van helemaal niets. Zijn we zomaar in de top 15 terechtgekomen. Hè? Van de 120 landen of zo. En vandaag helaas ook al 3 doden. Dus dat is toch wel. Dat hakt er toch wel een beetje in. Hè? We hebben inmiddels meer dan bijvoorbeeld Engeland. Waar ze toch beduidend veel meer inwoners hebben. Hè? Zo kan het gaan. Het lijkt er wel op dat ze de goede maatregelen nemen. In ieder geval in China breidt het zich niet verder uit, lijkt het. Hè? Daar is het wel stabiel, maar er komen steeds minder nieuwe patiënten bij. Dus die maatregelen lijken te helpen. Bij Italië is dat pas aan het eind van de week duidelijk of hun maatregelen werken. Dus van dan is die maximale incubatietijd voorbij. Hè? Dus dat over het coronavirus. Ja, ik zit even te denken wat ik nog meer heb. Ik heb net lekker soep gegeten. Ik ben weer aan het kokkerellen. Dat doe ik in vlagen. En ik had dat al een poos niet gedaan. Maar ja, ik heb zelfs wel eens gedacht om een kookboek te schrijven ooit. Hè. Maar, ja, ik ben van vele markten thuis, dat zal wel duidelijk zijn. Maar ik heb voor mezelf heb ik een manier van de dingen invriezen. Ja, dat is eigenlijk serendipity. Hoe zeg je dat in het Nederlands? Serendipiteit. Dat is dat je ergens per ongeluk opkomt, hè, wat heel goed werkt. Maar als je dingen kookt, als je soep bijvoorbeeld lang laat koken, dan kook je al die groenten stuk. En je kunt het ook weer niet rauw doen, dus het is altijd lastig om de maat te houden. En dan heb ik ontdekt dat als je die groenten invriest, dan kun je ze gewoon rauw invriezen en dan hoef je helemaal niet te koken. Dan is die groente net lekker knapperig en het is net, dat gaat net goed. Het gaat niet voor alle gerechten, maar ik heb een aantal gerechten die ik op die manier kan doen. En het is zeer weinig werk om het te maken, want je gooit eigenlijk alleen de ingrediënten met een beetje water erbij. En wat zout of bouillon en een beetje tabasco gooi je in een bak. En die bak die vries je vervolgens in. En dit kan zo de magnetron in. Hè? Ik heb van die bakjes voor de magnetron. Of voor de vriezer en de magnetron. Je moet niet te snel praten. Maar die dingen die kunnen zowel in de vriezer als in de magnetron. Hè? Voor die diepvriesbakjes. Die zijn wel duur. Maar dat is wel ideaal. Dat scheelt toch echt wel heel veel afwassen. En ook een heel veel werk om die dingen uit die bakjes te bikken. Hè? Want ja, je hoeft het helemaal niet te doen. Je zet het grote klont ijs zo in de magnetron. En je zet het 8-9 minuten aan. En presto, je hebt soep. Dus nee, dat is wel goed. De series, ik heb een, wat wel aardig was, toen ik in het ziekenhuis was, toen was ik me dus stierlijk aan het vervelen, inmiddels. Het was ergens halverwege de avond duidelijk dat het toch wel een grote kans was dat er niet wat ernstigs aan de hand was. Je weet dat nooit, hè? Maar goed, in ieder geval, ik lag daar veilig. De televisie op die kamer, op de eerste hulp, was natuurlijk heel duur. Omdat dat niet een plaats is waar mensen gewoon liggen. En dat kostte voor mij, als ik die avond had willen kijken, iets van 5 euro. En ik wist niet eens of ik op mijn... Ik heb een smartphone met prepaid, of ik wel zoveel beltegoed had. Hè. Ik dacht, nou, laat ik dat dan maar niet doen. En dan zit je te vervelen. Maar ik heb meestal wel een kladblokje bij me om teksten te schrijven. Of in ieder geval als ik ideeën heb om dat op te schrijven. Dus ik ben bezig met een nieuw stukje elektronica wat ik aan het maken ben. Daar heb ik het ontwerp grotendeels van doorgerekend. Een aantal ontwerpalternatieven afgevinkt. En ik heb planning gemaakt voor onderwerpen voor de DX Headlines. Waar ik hopelijk woensdag weer mee begin op de Korte Golf. En ook voor de Daily Minutes heb ik eens zitten nadenken. Nou had ik daar al wel een plan, maar ik heb daar dat toch wat verder nog weer uitgewerkt. Ik denk dat ik de thematische uitzendingen maar even laat zitten. Er is weinig van terechtgekomen. Misschien dat ik wel op vrijdagavond een live uitzending ga doen, steeds. Maar goed, dat is dan pas over een paar weken weer. Wat ik wil gaan doen is de serie over propagatie die ik... eigenlijk heb ik dit in de nacht van vrijdag volgens mij ook verteld. Maar goed, dat zend ik mogelijk niet uit. Dus. Maar ik heb eerder een serie over propagatie op de Korte Golf gedaan. En nog eens een poging om daar iets op VHF-UHF achteraan te doen. Dat is toen een beetje verzand. En ik heb die serie wel eens herhaald. En ik vind ook de uitvoering van waarop ik dat gedaan heb niet super. Dus wat ik nu eigenlijk wilde doen, en daar was ik dus woensdag al mee bezig, is een nieuwe serie schrijven. Op min of meer dezelfde bronnen gebaseerd, maar wel geheel nieuw. En het dan wat beter te doen over in eerste instantie de propagatie op de Korte Golf. En dan gaan we eens kijken hoeveel dagen dat ik daarmee toe kan. En dan heb ik wel weer iedere dag ook een onderwerp waar ik niet van tevoren hoef te piekeren. Dan heb ik wel wat. Dus ergens in de loop van deze week ga ik daar toch alsnog mee beginnen. En ik heb ook nog wat series daarachteraan die ik eigenlijk wel leuk zou vinden. Ook nog iets over antennes. En ook wat niet-amateur onderwerpen. Dus ik heb in ieder geval plannen wat dat betreft. En een deel daarvan heb ik dus woensdag uitgewerkt. Voor vandaag wat ik meestal in het weekend doe, de Engelstalige nieuwsuitzendingen gaan erachteraan plakken. Moet even kijken, ik denk dat ik de column van Onno morgen doe. En dan doe ik vandaag de Amateur Radio Newsline, die is van vrijdag. En daarachteraan van vandaag het RSTB nieuws in de vorm van TX Factor, die is beschikbaar. Dus dat volgt hier nu achteraan.
Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2210 with a release date of Friday, March 6th, 2020, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A fatal stabbing claims the life of a California amateur. Coronavirus concerns postpone a de-expedition, and it's never too late to get your extra class license. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2210 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We begin this week's report with the tragic killing of an amateur radio operator in California. Police have arrested a suspect. Ralph Squalachi, KK6ITB, has those details.
The president of a California amateur radio club was stabbed to death in what police say was an assailant's violent rampage that killed one other person and left two more injured. Paul McIntyre, KC5JAX of Sacramento, California, had been president of the River City Amateur Radio Communications Society, N6NA. The club's website announced his death, which happened after the February 28th attack at the Wellness and Recovery Center North, a social services outreach center providing peer support programs. Police arrested Martin Raymond Lackey Garcia, 39, and were holding him in the main Sacramento jail. One of the witnesses told KCRA-TV that she was told a man pulled a knife on people inside the building and she did not believe the building had security. Paul's wife, Barbara, told CBS Sacramento that her husband, who was blind, was an intern at the outreach center, training to become a social worker. The club website remembered him as a longtime mentor and volunteer. He had served on the board of directors as well and was net coordinator. Paul McIntyre was 57. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squalachi, KK6ITB.
Paul's family has set up a GoFundMe page to offset costs of his funeral. If you've been waiting to work the Tarawa Atoll De-Expedition T-30ET, you're facing a long wait. Concern over the world's coronavirus spread has resulted in the Kiribati activation being delayed. Alex, 5B4ALX, was to have been on the air starting on the 18th of March through the 2nd of April. Alex has posted on his website that after Kiribati health officials told him he would have to undergo 14 days of quarantine and obtain a medical clearance before going to Kiribati, he opted to postpone the activation. Alex said he hopes to go ahead with the activation in October of this year. Hamvention visitors who are planning a side trip to the Voice of America Museum in Westchester, Ohio, have a chance to see a remarkable antenna that's also a history lesson. Jack Parker, W8ISH, picks up the story from here.
The antenna array that Roy Llewellyn, W7EL, modeled in Westchester, Ohio, has become a reality, and it's providing a bit of a trip back in time to the days when Voice of America could be heard across the ocean. The array is a working scale model of the same kind of curtain array antenna used at VOA's Bethany Relay Station in Ohio until going off the air in November of 1994. The array operates on 70 centimeters and is a 4x2 design with a screen reflector. It has a predicted gain of 21.35 dBi at 8 degrees when mounted at a half wavelength above ground. Roy modeled it for the Westchester Amateur Radio Association, WC8VOA. It was designed and constructed by club members Richard Kreuter, WC8RK, and Joe Burke, WA8OGS. Perhaps best of all, if you're going to the Hamvention this year and plan a side trip to Bethany Relay Station, you'll see the antenna there. The museum is also the headquarters of WC8VOA and will have extended hours for visitors, especially those who want to see the model. It's sure to get a great reception. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Speaking of Hamvention, some very special people are being recognized at this year's event. Phil Thomas, W8RMJ from Amateur News Weekly, has the details.
The Dayton Hamvention Awards Committee has announced its slate of winners for this year's gala gathering to be once again held at the Greene County Exposition Center in Xenia, Ohio. Four categories were announced. The Special Achievement Award went to Jordan Shearer, KN4CRD. The second category awarded was the Technical Achievement Award, and that was bestowed upon Steve Frank, K9AN, Bill Somerville, G4WJS, and Joe Taylor, K1JT. The Club of the Year Award for 2020 went to the South Canadian Amateur Radio Society based in Cleveland County, Oklahoma. And the final category is the prestigious Amateur of the Year Award. Yazoo Miyazawa, JH1AJT, better known as Zorro. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Amateur News Weekly's Phil Thomas, W8RMJ.
Meanwhile, as plans go forward for the weekend of May 15th through 17th, Hamvention's executive committee issued a statement saying that Greene County health officials indicated they do not anticipate the COVID-19 outbreak to have an impact on the three-day event. While many people know amateur radio can help save a life, there are some who believe radio may also have the power to illuminate a life. That's what the family of One Silent Key in New Jersey believes. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, shares this story.
By the time George Muha, N2XM, became a Silent Key on the 13th of February, he had already lived many lifetimes on the air. George was 88 and a professor emeritus of chemistry at Rutgers University in New Jersey. He was a valued member of the Metuchen YMCA Radio Club, where starting in 1973, the devoted do-it-yourselfer taught countless hopeful high schoolers Morse code, which he'd learned in the Army as a radar repair specialist. The students went on to get their licenses, but it was only after George drove one group up to Philadelphia for their tests that his really big secret was out. According to his daughter, Laura, when the students discovered their tutor was actually not a ham, they teased and challenged him to take the test himself. In a feat that ultimately grabbed newspaper headlines, George sat for and aced all three exams that day. He later became so immersed in radio, he would leave family dinners to participate in on-air events, and often conscripted his sons into helping with his antenna projects so he could travel the world from his shack. When a diagnosis of COPD made his world even smaller in 2012, his family moved his basement shack to the main floor. As his daughter wrote, quote, "Radio was one thing that never let him down," close quote. George was on the air until his final weeks of life. His daughter said that although neither she nor her brothers joined their father in the hobby, George's step-grandson and two step-great-grandsons are proudly known as KM4CJP, KM4CJQ, and KM4CWF. The family patriarch's inspiration lives on. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The former awards editor of CQ Amateur Radio Magazine has become a silent key. Eddie DeYoung, KS4AA, had been in poor health and had recently relinquished his post, which he had held for less than a year. The Florida resident, who died on February 25th, had also been active in amateur radio in Australia, where he lived from 1974 to 2012 and held the call VK4AN and was an accomplished DXer. How much is use of a frequency worth to you? The FCC is asking satellite companies that very question and could compensate them by as much as $9.7 billion for giving up part of their share of the spectrum for use by 5G mobile networks. The plan from Chairman Ajit Pai was approved by the agency in a 3-2 vote on Friday, February 28th. The money would come from large communications companies such as Verizon bidding on the frequencies during a public auction. It's a proud Amateur Radio Newsline tradition to honor talented young amateur radio operators, and we do this in the spirit of our late co-founder, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. The award, which he established in 1986, now bears his name. Nominations are being accepted for talented, community-conscious amateurs 18 or younger living in the U.S. or Canada. For details and this year's nomination form, visit our website, arnewsline.org. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Elmore County Amateur Radio Club's K7ECI repeater in Mountain Home, Idaho, on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. local time. If you're within easy traveling distance from Charleston, West Virginia, expect to see some major ham radio activity at the Convention Center in just another week. Jim Dameron, N8 TMW, tells us more.
It's almost Hamfest time here in West Virginia, as the 36th annual Charleston Hamfest is ready to roll on Saturday, March 14th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Venue is the Charleston Coliseum and Convention Center. This ARRL Hamfest will also be the West Virginia Section Convention and will feature keynote speaker Steve Ewald, WV1X, ARRL Field Organization Supervisor from League Headquarters in Newington, Connecticut, who will be leading the ARRL Aries Forum. Three main prizes will be given away, including first prize of $500 cash. Hams from all over West Virginia, as well as Ohio and Kentucky, are usual attendees. You're invited to come on down and see us. For information, go to chaswvhamfest.com. Reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, I'm Jim Dameron, N8 TMW.
In India, students were treated recently to the wonders of space and the magic of satellites, all in the context of radio. With that story, here's Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
Satellites were high in the sky and high on the day's agenda during the Samaya Space Conclave held in Mumbai, India late last month. The full-day program at the Samaya Institute of Engineering and Information Technology became a classroom for numerous students hoping to eventually carve out a career in a satellite program in India. Presentations were given by AMSAT India as well as the India Space Research Organization. Interested parties also learned about proper operation of amateur radio satellites and ground stations, heard about the ARIS program and got a demonstration of slow scan TV. ARIS India's Rajesh Vegadia, VU2EXP, called the experience a remarkable event for sharing of knowledge of satellites, especially for the next generation. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
When it comes to disaster response, some Seattle radio operators have begun using a backup system that's inclusive, accessible, and especially effective. Christian Kudnick, K0STH, has that story.
The local emergency communication hubs that emerged out of the winter storm response crisis in Seattle, Washington in 2005 have grown to combine the best of all radio worlds. In passing vital emergency traffic, these collectives of radio volunteers meld the disaster responsiveness of amateur radio with the easier public accessibility of General Mobile Radio Service, or GMRS. Ron Zuber, N4RDZ, said that GMRS communications have been further improved now between many diverse hubs by the recent addition of GMRS repeaters. Ron, the repeater manager, said that although GMRS repeater owners aren't mandated to coordinate the way amateur repeaters must, they still do so in order to serve their neighbors properly. He said that with more than 150 registered hubs around the city, area residents can be confident the radios will be heard during a crisis. Operators within each of the hubs are still capable of using the Family Radio Service, or FRS, and GMRS Simplex for more local information gathering. Ron, who is also the hub captain, said the city gets tremendous support from its dedicated Seattle Auxiliary Communications Service. But these hubs give added flexibility for participants who want to help the community. He said many hams have both amateur and GMRS licenses, a fact that makes those operators even more vital. Referring to operators who don't have amateur radio licenses, Ron said GMRS repeater operations have opened the door for their participation. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
In the world of DX, be listening on Friday, March 6th, when 4U1UN, the ham radio station at the United Nations headquarters in New York City, will be on the air for the first time using FT8. The mode's inventor, Joe Taylor, K1JT, will be at the controls. Hams making the first 25 QSOs will receive a special UN certificate signed by Joe. The UN station will also be activated for the ARRL's DX single sideband contest, which takes place on March 7th and 8th. Send QSLs via HB9BOU. Be listening for Yuri R2DY, Pavel R2DX, and Eugenie RW3FB using the call sign EX0QR from Kyrgyzstan between March 6th and 17th. Listen on 160 through 10 meters, where the team will be using CW, sideband, and the digital modes. Send QSLs to R2DX direct by the Bureau or using Club Logs OQRS. On Rodriguez Island, David F8AAN will operate as 3B9AN between the 9th and 18th of March. He will be on 80, 40, 30, 20, and 17 meters using CW, QSL to his home call sign, direct, or using Club Logs OQRS. Listen for T07DL active from Reunion Island through the 16th of March. The team of operators, including DK1BT, DL4WK, and DL6SAK, will operate on 160 through 10 using CW sideband and digital modes. Send QSL requests as documented on the group's QRZ.com page. If you're inclined to raise a toast for a coming-of-age celebration, note that March 2nd marked the 18th year of operation for the Summits on the Air award scheme. It began modestly with operators in England and Wales in 2002, but has since grown to more than 174 associations around the globe. According to the SOTA database, more than 320,000 Summit activations have led to 5.7 million QSOs to date. Salut! If you've been putting off upgrading to Extra, our final story of the week just might inspire you to action. Here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
There is a saying that it's never too late to try something new. 94-year-old Buck Miner, K6RFE, is proof of that. Buck has been a ham since the 1950s. He's been a general for most of that time. He's also been blind since he was 27. But lately, he's been fighting interference on HF from one ham in particular. When he found out that the source of his irritation was also only a general, Buck found a solution.
And I said, well, he don't have an extra license, so I'm going to study and get my extra and get away from him. And a friend of mine in Utah, another ham, I sent him a tape recorder and some tapes. And he taped the questions and answers extra. And for months and months, I've been studying hard. And sometimes I'd get a question I'd get hung up on. I'd get on the air every morning and say, what's the answer to this one? And they'd all answer it. We were having a lot of fun doing that. Then I, one day, just for the fun of it, I asked Alexa.
His voice assistant unit proved to be a valuable addition to his study materials. He studied day and night for months until...
Finally, I got down to the point where I think I can give it a try, and the guys came over, and I squeaked past it. I didn't think I was doing anything to get any notification from the world. I just wanted to get down the band and get away from that guy.
Miner is also a prolific author and a singer-songwriter. You can hear many of his songs by searching for him on YouTube. So... for those of you who are thinking you're too old to learn a new trick, Buck Miner would beg to differ with you. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
With thanks to Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT India, the ARRL, Bloomberg News, David Bihar, K7DB, Laura Muha, Ron Zuber, N4RDZ, shortwaveradio.de, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WTWW Shortwave, and your listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
Hello, this is Mike Marsh, G1IAR, here with the TX News podcast of the GP2RS National News for Sunday, the 8th of March, 2020, supplied by the Radio Society of Great Britain and brought to you by TX Factor. The news headlines this week: Raynet helps in flooding emergency, Blue Ham this weekend, and 6,873 February visitors to the NRC. Northumber Raynet were recently activated during the widespread flooding that occurred on the 27th of February in Snaith, East Yorkshire. A temporary control station was first established at the Washlands near the village of East Cowick during the afternoon of the 26th, with 13 members attending the developing situation over 3 days. Members were positioned at vehicle checkpoints, flooded roads, and worked alongside Yorkshire 4x4 response vehicles, as well as being co-located in the local town council emergency control centre and Bronze Command. Most of the radio traffic was carried over 144 MHz, with some on 70 MHz, and a UHF-VHF talk-through was located in a vehicle outside Snaith Fire Station to provide local access and an increased range, as the 4G mobile phone coverage was a bit patchy in some areas, and there were issues with access at times. The group were finally stood down late in the evening of the Saturday, the 29th of February, as the flooding and the situation stabilised. The RAFAC tell us that the next Blue Ham radio communications exercise will be this weekend, the 7th and the 8th of March, using the 5 MHz band. Details of the exchange of information to count as a QSO is online at alphacharlie.org.uk/exercise-blue-ham. A Blue Ham certificate is available if you contact 10 or more special MRE call signs during the exercise with the cadets. No fewer than 6,873 visitors were welcomed to the RSGB National Radio Centre at Bletchley Park during February. As part of the ongoing recruitment campaign, two new volunteers joined the NRC team. They're Mike, Golf Zero Romeo Bravo Bravo, and Nick, Mike Zero November Papa Hotel. The RSGB would like to thank them and the other NRC volunteers for their time. Eve Foxtrot 5 Papa Romeo Uniform / 6 Whiskey 1 Tango Alpha in Senegal has been informed by the Senegalese Telecom Radio Authority that the new WRC 15 amateur secondary allocation between 5351.5 and 5366.5 kHz is now allowed in the country. The IARU Region 1 band plan should be used with a maximum power limit available, which is 15 EIRP. Eve has been living in Senegal for 18 months and he's mainly on the air around 5354 kHz on CW and sometimes on 5357 kHz FT8. Venues and dates for the 2020 series of the Train the Trainers courses can be found on the RSGB website right now at rsgb.org/train-the-trainers. In order for the organisers to ensure that the courses run as cost-effectively as possible, between 20 and 25 candidates are required for each venue. To reserve a place on any course, please send an email to trainthetrainers@rsgb.org. UK with your name and your telephone number. The first course to run will be held in Telford on the 21st of March, and it now only has 2 places left available. Following Telford, it's Cardiff on the 18th of April, and this course needs more candidates. So if you want to attend the Cardiff event, please book as soon as possible, and details of all the other courses are up on the website. The RSGB is delighted to announce that Tony Jones, Golf 7 Echo Tango Whiskey, has been appointed as Amateur Radio Development Chair, and Chris Colclough, Golf 1 Victor Delta Papa, has been appointed to the role of Beyond Exams Coordinator. Both were licensed in the 1980s, and they've been active in a range of amateur radio activities and are looking forward to being part of these initiatives. The first lecture as part of the Marconi Centenary 2020 has been announced by the Chelmsford Civic Society. Professor Danielle George has kindly agreed to speak at the Anglia Ruskin University on Bishop Hall Lane in Chelmsford on Tuesday, the 31st of March at 2 p.m. The lecture is free for everyone to attend, but it must be pre-booked. And to do that, head over online to tinyurl.com/eventbrite
all one word, and that's Brite, B-R-I-T-E, hyphen Marconi. And finally, in the headline news, the RSGB has created a new policies page where you'll find all the Society's main policies in one place. It's up online at rsgb.org/policies. Where relevant, you can also still find them on the appropriate sections of the website as well. But the policy documents have been updated into the RSGB's current branding, so please make sure you refer to the most recent versions. All right, let's look at the rallies and the events for the upcoming week now. And breaking news, the PenCoEd ARC tabletop sale, scheduled to take place on the 8th of March, has now been cancelled. And due to the concerns raised over the COVID-19 coronavirus, the committee of the Withall Radio Club have decided to cancel this year's Withall Hamfest, which was originally planned for next Sunday, the 15th of March. They'd like to thank the traders for their support for this year's event and hope everything gets back to normal for next year. On the 22nd of March, Sterling and District ARS is holding a CW boot camp in conjunction with GMDX. All the information is up online at gmdx.org.uk/CW boot camp. And don't forget, if you've got rallies and events planned for 2020, get them sent in to us as soon as possible via email to radcom@rsgb.org.uk. We give you valuable publicity online. It goes in Radcom as well. And of course, it's on GB2RS News, and it's all for free. Moving on to the DX News now, which comes from 425 DX News and other sources. David, Foxtrot 8 Alpha Alpha November will be active holiday style as 3 Bravo 9 Alpha November from Rodriguez Island, which is IOTA reference Alpha Foxtrot 017, between the 10th and the 19th of March. He'll operate CW on the 80 to 17 meter bands and QSL via Club Logs OQRS or direct to his home call. Richard, Golf 3 Romeo Whiskey Lima will be active as 8 Papa 6 Delta Romeo from Barbados, which is November Alpha 021, from the 8th of March to the 9th of April. He'll operate CW and possibly some RTTY on the 80 to 10 meter bands, QSL via Club Logs OQRS, Logbook of the World, or via his home call, either direct or via the Bureau. Noel, Foxtrot 6 Bravo Golf Charlie, will be active as 8 Quebec 7 November Charlie from the Maldives, which is Alpha Sierra 013, between the 12th and the 21st of March. He'll be operating holiday styly in between catching fish, no doubt, and having a cool beer on the 80 to 10 meter bands using SSB, CW and digital modes, QSL via Logbook of the World or direct to his home call. 9 Kilo 2 Hotel Quebec and other members of the Kuwait ARS will all be active as 9 Kilo 2 Foxtrot from Failaka Island, which is Alpha Sierra 118, between the 11th and the 15th of March. They'll be operating SSB CWFT8 on the 80 to 10 meter bands, and QSL is via 9 Kilo 2 Romeo Alpha and Logbook of the World. Thierry, Foxtrot 6 Charlie Uniform Kilo, will be active as Tangamite 8 Charlie from the Lighthouse on Corduan Island, which is Echo Uniform 159, between the 13th and the 15th of March. He'll operate CW and SSB on the 40 and 20 meter bands and QSL if you get a contact via his home call. Moving on to the special events news now, and on the weekend of the 14th and the 15th of March, the Shepparton and District ARC will connect amateur transceivers to the Curtain Array and rhombic antennas at the Broadcast Australia site in Shepparton, which is located in north central Victoria in Australia. The site was previously a shortwave Radio Australia location. Victor India 3 Romeo Alpha will be on the air from 2300 UTC on Saturday, the 14th of March, until 2300 UTC on the 16th, using the 7, 10, 14, 18, and 21 MHz bands. The Marine Bicentennial Special Event celebrates the 200th anniversary of Maine statehood. Between the 16th and the 22nd of March, 12 special event call signs will be active, each representing one of Maine's 9 original counties, plus 3 special locations that have historical significance. They are including Kilo 1 Bravo, Kilo 1 Juliet, Kilo 1 Papa, Whiskey 1 Charlie, Whiskey 1 Hotel, and Whiskey 1 Yankee, amongst others. Certificates will be awarded to those who contact special event stations with endorsements available for bands, modes, and a clean sweep for contacts with each of the main 200 special event call signs. Check out all the details online. For more information, head over to main200specialevent.com. And if you've got any special event details, do send us into them here at RadCom. We can put them up on the GB2RS news for you and get as much publicity as you can possibly get on GB2RS in RadCom and online. All you got to do is give us all the details and send it in an email to radcom@rsgb.org.uk. Contest news time now, and the ARRL International DX contest ends its 48-hour run at 23:59 UTC on Sunday the 8th. Using the 1.8 to 28 MHz bands, the exchange's signal report and transmitter power, US stations also send their state, and Canadians send their province. The 144432 MHz contest ends its 24-hour run at 1400 UTC on Sunday the 8th, using all modes, the exchange's signal report, serial number, and locator. And the UK Microwave Group Low Band Contest takes place on Sunday the 8th from 1000 hours to 1600 UTC, using all modes on the 1.3 to 3.4 GHz band, the exchange's signal report, serial number, and locator. The Worktool Britain 3.5 MHz contest is also going on Sunday the 8th of March. It runs 1800 through 2200 UTC. Entries will need to be with the contest manager by the 18th of March. The exchange will be RS plus serial number plus WAB square, and full details of the rules and methods of entry can be obtained from the WAB website, which is at worked-all-britain.org.uk. On Tuesday, the 432 MHz FM activity contest runs 1900 through 1955 on FM only, and it's immediately followed by the all mode 432 MHz UK activity contest from 2000 through 2230. And the exchange for both contests is signal report, serial number, and locator. Moving on to Wednesday, the 80 meter club championship CW leg runs 2000 through 2130 UTC, and the exchange's signal report and serial number. On Thursday, the 50 MHz UK activity contest runs 2000 through 2230, using all modes, the exchange's signal report, serial number, and locator. And the longest running RSGB contest of them all is the Commonwealth contest, formerly known as Beru, and it runs for 24 hours over the weekend of the 14th and the 15th of March. Now, there are always some travellers who fly off to activate Commonwealth countries that are not actually heard every day, and they'll be pleased to work anyone in the UK who's a contester or not. The contest runs from 1000 on the 14th through to 1000 on the 15th, and it's CW only on the 3.5 to 28 MHz contest bands, and the exchange is signal report and serial number. And finally, next Sunday, the 15th, it's the second 70 MHz cumulative contest, and it runs 1000 through 1200 UTC, using all modes, the exchange is signal report, serial number, and locator. Now let's find out what we've got in store for us through the upcoming week with the radio propagation report, this week compiled by Golf 0 Kilo Yankee Alpha, Golf 3 Yankee Lima Alpha, and Golf 4 Bravo Alpha Oscar on Friday the 6th of March. The Victor Papa 8 Papa Juliet D expedition to South Orkney Islands has now finished, with the last active day on the 5th of March. The D expedition resulted in many UK stations putting South Orkney into their log on all bands and modes from 160 to 15 metres, with a few reports of even some 10 metres contacts. Now, this was a good example of how ionospheric propagation can be hard to predict, as some of the paths look very difficult, if not impossible. But over a week-long period, there were times when signals were able to get through, if only for short periods. But it also showed how localised HF propagation can be, with some stations in the UK hearing them, while 100 miles away, there was nothing. Solar figures-wise, the week ended pretty much as it started, with zero sunspots and a solar flux index of 69 to 70. The week was mainly settled geomagnetically, apart from the night of Saturday, February the 29th, and Sunday the 1st of March, when the KP index rose up to 4. Now, this was due to a solar wind stream from a coronal hole on the sun, which we actually predicted last week. Luckily, though, it was pretty short-lived, and after it struck, the KP index fell back again to 1 or 2, representing more settled geomagnetic conditions. NOAA predicts that the next week will be pretty similar to last, really, with zero sunspots and a solar flux index around 70 to 71. The US Air Force predicts fairly quiet geomagnetic conditions with the KP index around 1 or 2. At the time of writing, a small coronal hole has actually appeared on the sun's equator, which should become geo-effective this weekend. Another polar coronal hole is also growing towards the solar equator, and this means that any solar matter from these holes could impact the Earth sometime over the weekend or early next week, and if it does, expect a possible short-lived pre-auroral enhancement followed by a general reduction in the maximum usable frequency as the KP index rises. Don't forget, next weekend it's the Commonwealth Contest with CWHF stations on from Australia, New Zealand and Canada, as well as exotic locations such as Mauritius, the Cayman Islands, Belize and the Turks and Caicos Islands. All right, VHF and upwards propagation now. And March is usually a month of typical spring gales and storms, with the main Atlantic jet stream across the British Isles. Next week's forecast is therefore not unexpected. And the main theme is very changeable, with quite strong winds at times and periods of heavy rain. No surprise, then, that there's little prospect of high pressure and tropo on the VHF and UHF bands. What's left, though, is a challenge for microwave operators to seek out some rain scatter from fast-moving scatter points in this train of lows and fronts which is crossing the country. Also, if you have heavy local rain between you and the QO100 satellite, look out for a reduction in signal strength from the transponders. It's due to the scattering effect of water droplets causing blockage of signal at the gigahertz band downlink frequency. The strong jet stream will also produce some small opportunities for out-of-season sporadic E, probably towards the south into Spain or Italy. Moon declination goes negative on Wednesday, so the best peak moon elevation will be in the early half of the week. Tuesday is perigee, so with path losses at their lowest, it's still a good week for EME. 144 megahertz sky noise is low for the early part of the week, but it does climb slowly, reaching 750K a week today. The small gamma Normids meteor shower peaks next Saturday with a zenithal hourly rate of just 6. It's nothing to get really excited about, but do keep an eye out for some random meteor scatter QSOs around dawn. And that's it from the propagation team for another week. And that is your GB2RS national news for the UK from around the world this week. Don't forget, your regional GB2RS news will be on the air over the weekend. All you've got to do is track down who's reading it out and what time they're on the air and what frequency they're using and what mode they're using and all of those things. It's very easy to do, by the way. Head over to the TX Factor homepage at txfactor.co.uk. And if you haven't got a clue who is your local newsreader and didn't even realise there was a local news service to you, head over to our homepage, click on the GB2RS News tab. Up there is a PDF file of all the broadcasters across the country, what time of day they're on the air, what frequency they're using and what mode and all that stuff. And you'll be able to find out the closest GB2RS local newsreader to you. I'm Mike Marsh, G1IR, reporting with the TX News weekly podcast of GB2RS News. Thanks for listening. And guess what? We'll see you right back here next week with the very latest update of GB2RS News.
I'm Peter John in English Media. Title music is by Croatian artist Blasko and is published under Creative Commons. You can find this podcast on dmpodcast.net, DM is for Daily Minutes, and on several other platforms. De internetfaciliteiten en studio hardware voor Daily Minutes worden gesponsord door 70MHzShop.nl, 70MHzShop.nl.
Daily Minutes podcast. Whoever hears this is crazy.
Blooper.
Sorry, die is beschikbaar. Dus dat volgt hier nu achteraan.
Blooper.
Dus dat is wat hier nu achteraan komt.
Blooper.
Daar gaan we dus nu naar luisteren.
Blooper.
Daar gaan we dus nu naar luisteren.
Blooper.
Nou, ik kom niet. Dit zijn bloopers aan de lopende band. Daar gaan we dus nu naar luisteren.
Blooper.
Daar gaan we dus nu naar luisteren.
En microfoon naar retour.